Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I am so excited talking about the power of God. We're going to continue that conversation, but with me is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Give a shout out to all of our listeners out there. It was so cool to be able to see several of our friends this weekend. Give a shout out to Jack and Shelly Hollis over in Marietta, Florida. God is doing awesome things. We are hearing the voice of the Lord, and we are following in view of His mercy and because of His grace. Today is Inauguration Day for the United States of America. I am watching, as we speak, everything coming together for the inauguration in Washington, D.C., as President Barack Obama is nominated or accepts a nomination, although it was done on the 20th. They're going to do the official parade and celebration, all that kind of stuff today, and maybe about 3 hours away, I believe. We're watching Bill and Hillary Clinton walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Other leaders walk in to Jimmy Carter and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to see everybody coming together. What a day. A transference of power with no war. Also, it's MLK Day. If you haven't gone to MLKday.gov, go there and find out what today's about. A day of celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King, a man, an apostle, a minister, a man that shook this nation. And one of the, if you wanted to march with him, you had to agree to do service. You can find out more about that on the VFN Torch. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. Here we were, right, man. My goodness. The inauguration, as I said, is going on right now. You see President Clinton shaking President Carter's hand right here, and they're coming through, getting all settled in, and Rosalynn, his wife's there, and Hillary, and it's just pretty cool that all the things are coming together as we're watching the transference of power and a peaceful transference of power that's there. There's hundreds of thousands are gathering on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Look at the crowds that are just gathering out there.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. We were there. That's right where we were during the Stand in the Gap with Promise Keepers. I believe we had more. We had a million.
Yeah.
We had a million out there.
Over a million.
I found out past presidents, what they've always done is cut it off at 100,000 or something. And this is the first president that's never cut it off.
Really?
Yeah, and that's what's, somebody said, wow, there's so much more. And it's like, well, they cut it off at the 100,000 because of the cost involved to the taxpayers, and they have to hire security and, you know, mm-hmm. Washington, D.C. pays a lot of money for this particular thing, the local police and all.
Shut the whole city down.
Just the whole city down, all the businesses and all. And so they would just cut it off at 100,000. Well, this is the first president, to my knowledge, it's actually said, let it rip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're seeing more people come out. Of course, the last one was, of course, our first African-American president,
mm-hmm.
and that was being celebrated as well. But I just found that it just doesn't cut off the number. It's like, come, you know, come on out. And so pretty packed. Pretty packed. That's it's a great city design for being able to get around, but when you have a million people in it or half a million people, things can clog up a little bit. It's also MLK Day, Dr. Martin Luther King Day. If you don't know anything about Dr. King, you need to know him go to MLKday.gov or just do some research yourself. And this is an awesome man of God, an apostle, who stood up as a pioneer to be able to bring America into what it said it was.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1776, and it was just a cool thing, a day that we get to celebrate. And he gave his life for the civil rights that we have today, and needs to be acknowledged and celebrated. And when you see his what he stood for, if you haven't yet gone to see the commitment card that anybody that walked with him and worked with him and what he was doing here in America, you'll get a whole new perspective of who he is. Mm. He's a Christian.
Yeah.
He was a Christian man,
right,
who loved God and understood that only God could bring this to pass. But he had to stand up as a pioneer. And anybody that walked with him had to be in agreement with that. And they had to sign this commitment card. And one of them was they had to agree to do service,
mm-hmm.
you know, do nice things. And so obviously to commemorate Dr. King, a service day is a great way to commemorate him. And we as Christians, you know, every day is a service day.
That's right.
But it's a good time to get involved with, you know, things happen around your community. Maybe they're fixing a school up or cleaning parks up or whatever. Go out there and be light in the midst of all that. I don't know if Dr. King was here, he'd be. I know that his niece, Evita King, would say, "Yeah, you go, girl. You go, guy." Right? Because you know, she just talks about it. He's just, I mean, his love was his driving force, you know. Wow. Love, and she really has a passion and talks about it. But and this is this great talking about, yes, looking back at Jesus' life and seeing. We want to imitate him. We want to walk like he walked and talk like he talked. We want evidence in our life that we are his disciple. And we find that out, you know, when we're looking at, we're talking in the first hour. That's where we're kind of continuing the conversation. So if you missed the first hour, I encourage you to listen to it. Listen to the first hour or go to the VFN Torch and hear the whole highlight that's there on your app or whatever. But Jesus was ministering to in a particular town like the Galilee, for example. He was preaching and he was teaching, and all the good news of the kingdom of God, which means the king's dominion, and he was healing every disease and every sickness amongst the people. I mean, that word "every" is amazing. It's like, mm-hmm, woo, that's awesome. But he was addressing disease and sickness by a manifestation of power in the kingdom. And then we found out, it says, listen, Jesus tells us that as he's talking to the Father, he says, listen, as I was sent, I'm sending them. The way you sent me, Father, I'm going to send them out. So in other words, we're supposed to imitate him. Then he tells us, listen, I want you to go. His last words were, get out there and go. Go into all the world and do what I did. He says, listen, and all these signs will follow you just like they follow me, right? Yeah. He says, all these signs will accompany you who believe. In my name, you will drive out demons. You will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes. And they won't hurt them. They'll drink deadly poison. It won't do any harm to them. And they'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. And you think about it. He tells, even in Luke 10, when he's sending out the 72, he says, listen, go. I'm sending you out. And it's so difficult because we got a cave mentality with the church. It's like, really? Is this like lions, tigers, and bears out there, right? You right?
Yeah.
And he says, well, I am sending you out amongst wolves, but, you know, be as wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Like, yeah, but we're not living for this life. And so then he says, listen, and when you enter a town, Jesus is telling his disciples, and we are, if you say you're his disciple, this is what he's telling you. And when you go into a town and are welcomed, keyword, welcome, then you're supposed to heal the sick. I want you to heal the sick. And I want you to, when the power of God manifests and a demon gets cast out or the power of God manifest and whatever the needs met, you let them know the kingdom of God is near. The reason why you tell them it's near, because the kingdom of God is in you. You are a kingdom container. We're kind of reviewing that first hour. And understanding that, I said, wow, then the only way the kingdom's going to spread is if I get off this whatever I'm sitting on, this religious thing I'm sitting on, mm-hmm, and I get out into the world.
Right.
That's the only way it's going to spread, because we are kingdom containers. The kingdom of God is in us. We found out that the hope of glory for the world is inside of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So getting in tune with the reality that you are carrying Christ around with you. You are carrying the anointing. You know, Jesus Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name.
Right.
That word means anointed. That Jesus is the anointing. And so we say the anointing in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you, the anointing in you. You've been looking everywhere else for everybody to solve everything, and you, it, Christ in you is the key for the manifestation of the glory of God in that particular situation. And he says, when we do this, when we do what we're talking about, and of course I'm just briefing over some of the things, that this brings glory to the Father.
Yeah.
And it shows everybody that we're his. It shows everybody that we're his disciple. And, you start witnessing to them. They go, oh, I'm already a believer. Mm-hmm. I'm a Christian, probably a Christian. And you're thinking, oh, well, I'm sorry. I was just trying. No, sorry. You know, it's like, you're like, I was with you for a while. And I didn't realize you knew Jesus or not. They said and then Jesus says, listen, if you don't believe what I'm saying, that the Father's in me and I'm in the Father, at least believe the evidence of this. Of what I'm saying, yeah, is true. So the miracles or the evidence that's happening there, and you think about this, that, you know, some Christians, if they got arrested, and for being a Christian, mm-hmm, and you had to present, you had to get a jury trial, you got the prosecutor, the defense attorney, and the judge, and all of a sudden they come in, the judge says, "Where's the evidence?" Where's the evidence? And they look around. They said, well, you know, they don't read their Bible. They don't follow what he says. And there is no manifestation of power in their life. And they don't even know where their Bible is, much less what's in it.
Right.
And the judges say, well, if it don't fit, you must acquit. He's going to say, listen, this guy ain't a Christian. You have to be loosed. You actually have to get that person, free them, because they got arrested for being, that was a charge, you're a Christian, and have to release them for a lack of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious.
Wow.
Isn't that true? Is that not true?
It's so true.
You can imagine talking to God, I got arrested for being a Christian. They let me go because there was no evidence.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you explain that one? Get evidence.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Remember Dr. Price's evidence. Evidence. Fred Price, the Faith Dome. Evidence. Evidence. Anyway, so John 7:38, you know, whoever believes in me, Jesus says, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. You understand? Listen, you are thinking about God from the shoulder up and the neck up, and God's looking at you from the neck down. That's what's going on. Quite a few people are relating to God from the neck up, but listen, God's relating to you from the neck down. What's in your heart? It's true. It's really true. Well, I think, it doesn't matter what, because it's the neck down, he's actually responding to you.
Right.
And what's in your heart? And there's a lot of things that, but we're not going to go that direction. But understand, it's from within. It's from within. In Matthew 28:18-20, he says, all authority. This is his last words. He's saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Jesus said this. Then he says, therefore go. Again, go. We're not a come, ye church. Can you come? Can you come over here? Can you come over here? Why don't you just go where they're at? Why don't you just go? He says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of time. Listen, Christ is in you. He's with you. When you go out and you feel all alone, you're never alone because Christ is in you. Mm-hmm. And this Christ in you is the hope of glory, the manifestation and the advancement of the kingdom of God. Listen, preach Jesus and him crucified. Mm-hmm. Understand that it's the power of God. Romans 1:16, he tells us, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of this message I'm telling you about. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So if you're looking for power, you got to get off whatever that is and get back into the understanding that, listen, Christ wants family. He wants sons and daughters. He wants to bring them to his Father, and he's looking for a bride that his Father's preparing for him. Listen, it's loyalty. It's allegiance. It's not about religion. It's about abiding with him and hanging out with him and him speaking to you and you speaking to him and talking about your life and going out and then telling others about him and God backing that up and following that with signs and wonders where you pray for them, and they might have, they've heard the message. They said they had a need. They have not yet received God. But yet the power of God was present and God met that need. And that's when you say, listen, that the kingdom of God is near you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just experience God. Why don't you make him the Lord of your life? He loves you and he has a plan for your life. So when you think about it, you think about 2 Corinthians 12:9. We're talking about the power of God and evidence. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And see, this is the thing is that we're either going to be weak and powerless, weak and powerful,
mm-hmm.
or strong in our own strength and powerless.
Yeah.
We're either going to be humble and powerful or prideful and powerless.
Mm.
That's what it boils down to, right?
Yeah.
If you want the perfect power of God manifesting in your life and ministry, then you're going to have to humble yourself. You're gonna and the humility is defined as the Ungers, I believe, defines it as total dependency on God and respect for other people. So you're just totally dependent on. That's why nobody has to tell you to pray. You're talking to them all the time. Nobody tells you have to read. You're looking for directions. You know, nobody tells you. You know, you're in love with them, so you're talking about the one that you love all the time.
Yeah.
And you're
stay low so you don't have to get low, right?
Yes. Keep your head low and the Lord high.
That's right.
Yeah. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, we have this treasure, what? God's power. We have this treasure, what? God's glory, his kingdom, is Christ in you. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that it's his all-surpassing power, that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So it's, listen, if you keep on trying to patch up your clay vessel and trying to make yourself good enough to be used by God, the gooder you make yourself, the least likely you're going to be used, because the only good is God in us. It's Christ in us. But that is good. He is good. But that he's the only one that's good. Jesus said, who are you calling good, right?
Right.
That's right.
And we're talking about the power of God. So understanding, he said, well, if I want to see the fullness of the gospel in my life and the power that Jesus walked in, then and I want to see more of it in my life and others' lives and all across. I want to see, that's the hope for America. The hope for this third great awakening to happen is going to be the power of God. It's the power of God being poured out in the church, waking up, realizing, hey, I got to repent because I got idols in the temple, because I am the temple of God. So I got to repent for the sins in my life so I can actually begin to do what God's called me to do. And so we understand that the reason why God uses these things that are not us to be able to preach his gospel and to do it is to show that it's him and it's not us. So the power is going to move through a broken, weak vessel. That's how it's going to move. God can use you. If you don't think you can be used, you're probably the first one in line that can be used. It's those ones like, I can be used. Like, oh my goodness.
So skip.
2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give you, this is Paul talking to, power God moves in Paul's ministry, right?
Right.
To Timothy, a spiritual son, he says, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. But power. I mean, think about it. It's power. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. How long? What's the title of Missy Edwards' book?
What's the point?
I got that book coming to me just for the title alone. I just love it. You know, she needs that because that is so how I feel. It's like, what's the point of this?
All right.
What's the point of it? You know, at some point, are we going to play football? We've been practicing for a long time here. You know, at some point, are we going to have something other than just some pep rally? What are we going to do what we're saying we're going to do?
Yeah.
You know, what's the point? It makes really good sense, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but other people's like, oh, we never ask ourselves that. We just do this stuff. It's like, oh, wow. I either need that anointing or I got to set free. it's like, come on. You're reading. It says go. You know, go. And do. And so he says, listen, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is not a matter of a matter of talk, but of power. So the kingdom of God that we preach that is near is about power, but it's not just power. It is about the king and his kingdom and the power that comes with that to give you evidence to understand that the words that I'm speaking to you now, and I'm telling you, there's probably some that are listening right now that is just penetrating your heart. That's the power of God penetrating your heart. They understand this is a word of God. This is who the church is. We're not some religious folks who have some religious acts that show up at a religious building, that, you know, a holy building. We're not holy people that are showing up at a holy building for a holy moment so a holy man can say a holy word so everybody can have a holy hush to be able to go out and live their life in utter darkness.
Right.
That's not what it's about. It's about all of us.
Wow.
All of us being empowered to do what God's called us to do. That is the hope. And I'm going to be talking more about the power of God and understanding that if we're going to walk in this, how to embrace the very key elements. And we're going to share with you some dreams of and God spoke to us very specifically, this outpouring, what it's going to be like, because it's the power of God separates mere talkers from walkers. We'll be right back. Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
Oh, that's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing. And he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life. And it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures and there it is. And like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God and alone with God.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week. We get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? With the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though,
yeah,
to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. iabide.org. You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news corps. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand, and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laid on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and
yes,
we're trying
to
tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that. That's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back. And those that are being led to the Lord, I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about power, the power in the kingdom of God. Walking out ministry just like Jesus walked out ministry. We heard about in the first and now talking in the extra hour about the power of God and how Jesus wants us not only to do what he did, but he wants us to do greater things than he did. He expects us. It's an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
We've been given permission. We've been given a commission. We've been told to go, go, go. We've turned into like a cummy church, and we're supposed to go into all the world. Yes, it is. You know, God is sending us out amongst of wolves, and he even says, beware of men, because they'll harm you, and they'll even arrest you, and do different things too, he said, but be as wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. And the reason why that can be done is if you're abiding with God when you're doing it. You're hearing him every step of the way. You're spending time with him, and you're, remember, Jesus would be found early morning hours spending time with the Father, getting his direction and his orders for the day about what was going to happen. And there's a couple trying to find him, and he would always seek the Father early in the morning. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to abide with the Lord, abide with him, and he will. You can go out when you have very specifically Christ, know that Christ, you have the revelation and the faith and understanding that he is in you, because you can. Yeah. Christ can be in you, and you don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in the context of that, beginning to operate into the power of God. And I just read it. It's the message that threw me off. I should not have read that. Oh, my goodness. So we're supposed to move in the power of God. We're supposed to move, preach the gospel, and as we go out, if you're abiding with God, that's why we tell you to abide. Listen, a time is come. Right now, it's like, okay, I think I'll just stick my toe in the warm water and see if I can abide with God.
Yeah.
And but if not, I'll run back to this resort. We got a word we're going to play for you from Steve Hill. We got a prophetic word about what's happening right now. And they say, well, I've always got the resort. I can go back to this place that I don't have to do anything. I can just hear. And I want to make sure that's available for tomorrow's program probably. But, so right now it feels like that, but in a few moments, I don't know if it's minutes, hours, days, weeks, or a month, it's going to be so rough that all you're going to be able to do is abide.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to get to. I mean, when the hurricanes hit, for example, in the Gulf Coast area, you had what you had. You had what you had, and the people had to be activated. The people had to be activated in themselves and their own value system to be able to help their neighbors. It was pretty cool. It's what the church should be doing, right?
Yeah.
It's totally cool. And so the power of God. And so, but we remember that Paul said, when God was talking to Paul about, when Paul was talking to God about his flesh, he's talking to the Lord about his flesh, and he's like, come on, you know, can this thing get, you know, heal this thing, fix this thing. And then,
take it away, please.
Yeah. And then God says, no, this is of me. I've sent this buffer thing that's buffeting your flesh. Then he says, and it weakened Paul. It caused him to be weak, which made him usable. Mm. And he says, my grace, this is what God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, weakness is not a sin. It's not sinning. It's the weakness of, it could be the reality that if God doesn't hold you, you would fall right into that sin. I mean, that could be a thorn that, you know, Peter Jake said once, he said, everybody's talking about Satan this, Satan that. He's like, God, help me from me.
Yeah, right.
That God could have, you know, hold, you know that if God doesn't hold you up, you would just fall right into sin in the context of that. That could be it. But it also could be something, you know, with Paul, it appeared to be something with his eyes or flesh or something like that. And it caused him to be weak. But God says, listen, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Mm-hmm. So weakness is pretty important. And then he says, I put my all-surpassing power in jars of clay, which is us, to show everybody that it's me and it's not you. So this tapping into this weakness is very, our weakness is very important to release God's power in our life. First Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks about this. And I love this. And people get really frustrated with you when you approach them like this. Like, I am not going to tell you something that causes you to lock into me instead of God. Mm. And people are like, just throw me a raft or something that I can hang on you for a while. You are not going to hang. I don't want your faith to be in me. I want your faith to be in God. And so many people are okay with that. So many people are like, oh yeah, just float around on me for a while. You know, it's like, that doesn't save you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Only Jesus saves you. We shouldn't give anybody anything that gives them a false sense of floating in righteousness. You know what I'm saying? They got to either know God or not. But this is what Paul said. He says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. In other words, he preached accurately the gospel of the kingdom. He said, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he's just focused on that message of the gospel. And he's like, I don't want to know nothing. I don't want to know nothing. Then he says this, I came to you in weakness and fear and with trembling. I mean, not only was he in touch with his own weakness, not only did he say, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest, not only did he talk about, listen, that there's a war waging inside of me against the members of my body, he talked about all this, but at the same time he was in touch with his own weaknesses, he was probably one of the most boldest men for the gospel when he would preach the gospel outside of Jesus Christ. I mean, he was bold for God. Mm. I mean, one half of the New Testament was written out by this man, and he's still writing when his feet are probably dripping from sewage while he's in jail when he's writing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine? Wow. Oh, my goodness. And he said, listen, I come to you in weakness and in fear. You know what? He had the confidence already because God already told him, listen, my power is made perfect in your weakness. So he had no problem telling everybody, I'm weak. I'm weak. If God doesn't hold me up, I'll crumble. I'm coming to you and everything inside of me, and my flesh says, you know, I'm trembling over this whole thing, but I'm going to deliver you the bold message.
Wow.
With this weak vessel, this jar of clay. And he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. Oh, Lord, I mean, these beautiful orators that are just like, they talk and you go, whoa, oh my goodness, it all rhymed, it floated, it built, you know, in loader, front loader, back loaders, all these different people say these different things. And it's like, come on. Mm-hmm. But that's dangerous. You can really get hurt. You can really hurt people if you're a good speaker. You got to be real careful. You got to talk about, you know, your weaknesses and your different things, because they're thinking like, oh my goodness, and they're caught up in your words and not God. And he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You see, you don't have to be all, you know, fancy with your words and be able to have your, you know, all of this. I'm not going to talk about too much of that, but you just got to open your mouth, mm-hmm. because Christ in you is the hope of glory. And he said, I did this so that your faith might not rest in men's wisdom, but on God's power. Mm. Think about it. And he says, Jesus said very, very specifically that your traditions, by your traditions, the traditions of men, you make my word of non-effect. We got to make a mind up. Do we want what Jesus walked out and demonstrated for us, and to believe not only can we do that, that God sent us and gave us permission, that he gave us a commission, and that we're to be his disciples and to abide with him and follow him and to advance his kingdom? Or do we want religion? Do we want religion? What do we want? I don't want that. I want Jesus. Mm-hmm. I want what we read and what we see and what we've seen. And I want more of the Lord. More power. Mm. More souls. I mean, I like what Pat Robinson said during an interview. He's been interviewed by Paul, actually interviewing each other, Paul Crouch. He said that there's a lot of room in heaven and I want to fill it. Mm. There's a lot of room in heaven and I want to fill it. What an honor, huh?
Wow.
What an honor.
Yeah.
But think about it. If we want what Jesus, did, we got to do what Jesus did, right? Mm-hmm. We want to get what he got. We got to do what he did. And he was loyal and is loyal to the Father. Listen, it's not about religion. It's a relationship. The reason why he spent time with the Father, because he loves the Father. The reason why he laid down his life for us, because he loves us. So it's based on love, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. That's what this is all about. And if you don't love people, you got to first get saved. You got to find out what's wrong. God, you know, and you can't love others until you find out how much God loves you. And once you understand God's love for you, then you can actually accept that and receive it and love him back and love others. It's an overflow of the revelation of God's love for you that allows you to love others. And in that power of love, you come out of the mountains of your situation and you'll see people in the cities that you're in, and you will be just like Jesus. You'll be moved with compassion because you'll see people harassed and helpless and demonically oppressed and sick in their body. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will tell you and unction you at that one moment and said, that person right there, right now, pray for that person. Mm. And you'll just follow because you're being led by God. You're not just saying, hey, I got a great idea. You're just constantly following God. The reason why Jesus didn't pray for the guy at the Gate Beautiful who was there every day, because Father God didn't say, go pray for him. And understand that the Holy Spirit will guide you. The voice of the Lord leads us. And when you're abiding with him, we're walking in the power of God. Listen, the gospel of God, the kingdom of God, is not a matter of just mere talk. And I got a question. What's the name of her book again?
What's the point?
What's the point? But come on. If that's all we're going to do is talk, and then we're going to talk better, and then talk rhythmically, and then we're going to talk with music, and then we're going to get together in small groups and talk, and then we're getting together in big groups and talk, then we're going to put on PowerPoints and talk about the PowerPoints, and then we're going to talk. We're going to talk, and then we're going to talk. I mean, the reason why we're losing 80% of the church young people are leaving is they're going, listen, it's got to be more than talk. Mm. It's got to be more than talk. The young people are going to flood to Jesus, maybe not to what we think they're going to flood to, but they're going to flood into the kingdom of God when we begin to walk in the power of God. We begin to preach the gospel. We go out instead of say, come ye. The reason why we say come, people spend millions of dollars to get people to come into a place. It's like, hey, give it to people and give that money to people and tell them to go out and preach the gospel. You preach that the kingdom of God is in them, that the hope of glory is Christ in them, and that they go out to a place that they're being sent ahead of Jesus to be accepted by a place they're welcome in, to be able to lay hands on the sick, they recover and cast out demons and all that different stuff, and tell them the kingdom of God is near. And then all of a sudden the kingdom begins to expand when that person says, I want Jesus. You see, the only way the kingdom expands, it doesn't expand by you know, getting a business to join in, or it doesn't expand by you buying more property for your organization. It doesn't expand when you get on television or you get on radio or whatever it's for Jesus. It expands when one person who didn't know Jesus accepts him as his Lord and Savior. At that point, the kingdom has spread, because the kingdom was in you. It wasn't in them. And the second they said yes to God, the kingdom moved in to them. Therefore, the kingdom just expanded. The only way the kingdom can expand is by telling people about him, winning from the hordes of hell, those held captive by the enemy, and letting them know that God loves them. God's got a plan for their life. Begin to let them know that he died on a cross for their sins. He lived a sinless life. He walked on the face of this earth so he could empathize with what we're going through in every way that everything you can imagine that man has gone through. Jesus went through it yet without sin, but now because he died on the cross and paid the price for our sins, that we can enter in to the kingdom of God through the blood and the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in that, we can walk as he walked on this earth in the power of God. Listen, what's going to bring about the third great awakening is the church coming to the revelation knowledge of that it's Christ in you, not the building. The reason why you go into that building, whatever building you're in, we're meeting all kinds of places, the church, the people, the believers, that's the church. The reason why God manifests his presence there is because you're there. Because the kingdom is in you. And when two of you kingdom containers are together, then Christ is in your midst. It's not the building. It's not the stadium. It's not the house. It's not the coffee shop. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, as we're rappers, we can't determine what we are based on what we're wrapped with. It's what's inside of us that tells who we are. I just want to encourage you today. It's just all my heart to share with you about the power of God and understanding that we want a ministry just like Jesus had. That's how we want to walk. Ministry means service. We want to serve God the way that Jesus served God in Jesus' name. And we're going to share with you, and maybe have some time right now, to share with you about some what you're going to run into. Notice that when the power of God began to manifest outside just his words, that's when all heck broke loose. Remember when he began when the man with a particular shriveled up hand gets healed in the midst of the building, right?
They didn't like that.
Everything was cold until the power of God, because the power of God separated from the talkers from the walkers, meaning those that walk with God and those just talk about God. And the moment the manifestation of the power of God happens, it separates the talkers from the walkers. That's why it totally says to everybody that's a talker that I've been talking about something that I don't believe. I don't have any evidence of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God showed me. He showed me I was speaking at a large gathering of people, and in this gathering, all of a sudden it was this lady. She had this hump on her back. She had this hump, and it was just like some big, not a gourd, it was almost like just some big thing sticking out. You know, you could feel it in under her clothes. It was just sticking out of her back. And this compassion was all over me. And you gotta look, we're looking at a lot of people in this room sitting like we normally sit. We all sit in chairs facing one way, right? And they're all facing that, you know, towards the front. And so I'm just moved with compassion over this lady. And then this lady comes up, and I want her to be healed. You know, I'm like, just all over me. So I come up and I put my hand on her back, the bump, and I was fixing to push the bump into her back, because just that's what the dream is, and that's kind of like how it works. And God just does his miracles and things that he does. But as soon as I placed my hand on her to start pushing that back, that room cleared out. All these religious folks ran. They ran. Except for a core group of people who understood this is that. And then I look at them, I said, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Jesus was hated. He was called Satan. And all he did was good. All he did was forgive. All he did was forgive and make a way to the Father. He showed forth his mercy and his grace. But you know what? When the power of God separated the talkers from the walkers, it started just stirring up all kinds of stuff. I got more dreams to talk about in just a moment after this break. Fine Fellowship Network University. It's, I just can't, it is amazing. When you live and breathe and be educated in the things of God through a rhema word, what God is saying now to his people, what we need to know now and do in this generation. Listen, it's so encouraging. It's amazing, and it's so enlightening, and it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be, and it's not frivolous like the rebellious has made it out to be, but it is important. It's learning the things of God and a quick learning path depending on your time and also moving at the pace that you need to move it. Listen, you got to check it out. You've got to check. It's time to say, you know what? I want to go deeper in God maybe. Or you can say, not only do I want to go deeper, but I believe that there is a church plant inside of me. I want to start in my city, in my state, in my country, a church. I want to plant a church. I want the vine to begin to grow in my own city, but I need to know. I need to be rightly related. I need to know what I need to do. Well, Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. Check it out, vfnu.org, vfnu.org. I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together, and two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums, but the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, You can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. We were talking about the power of God. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Pat and John are joining me. We've got so many things we're going to share. I don't know if we're going to have time to share them all. But understand, what I was sharing just a while ago, when the power of God manifests, you deliver the message. Even Jesus said, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, at least believe the evidence that backs that up. And so that the evidence proved, the miracles are the evidence that proved that what he said was true.
Right.
And you know, we're seeing some pretty awesome things take place. And, but as I was just sharing that dream, that's how it works, where I was supposed to put my hand on this woman's back and heal her. And, then all of a sudden the religious folks run. They literally run. It happened another time where, you know, God is showing me the situation where the power of God hits, and this man was in his wheelchair and he had no legs from the knee down, no legs from the knee down. Mm-hmm. When the power of God hit, this man who needs healing hit, he got on his nubs. It's a dream. And he runs. He just is terrified of the power of God, because a lot of people want a pay raise. You know, they want the extra serving. They want a nice house. They want these different things. But the question is, only God knows what's in their heart. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just like to be religious. It's amazing. That just kind of just does something for them. But what's the point, right?
Right.
Of that.
Yeah.
And so there's been times where, you know, I had a particular lady that comes to me and she's been abused by her live-in boyfriend. He beat her up. He left her, took her, all of her stuff. And her son comes to me and asks me to, you know, tells me the whole situation, whatever's going on. And so here she is, just totally just distraught. Abused, and there's people out right now that's probably happened to you, and everything's gone, and she's just don't know what to do, and she's just curled up like an infant on the floor crying, and her son is seeing this. And so this comes to my knowledge, and I'm talking to her and ministering to her, and I said, well, what do you need? And she says, well, I need a job, I need a car, because he took the car, and I need my bills, because the bills now are not being paid, because she had left her work for school. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let's just ask God for that. Let's just ask God for that. And so we prayed for just a simple prayer. And this is what God did. God gave her a car, a sports car, mind you, a car, gave her one of the best jobs in the community with the hours that she needed to be there when her son got off the bus, and paid her bills up. Mm-hmm. And he did all of this on her birthday.
Yeah. Wow.
On her birthday. I mean, this is the God that you serve. This is who he is. We have another situation where we have a church that's gathered, and the power of God, the gospel is going forth and is being preached. And a man who was brought into this gathering by somebody who probably shouldn't have brought them in, but did, had fallen asleep, but he was not a Christian and had fallen asleep. And the power of God was so present in the preaching of that message, when I said, come out of him, he went straight from a dead sleep. He woke right up, and the demon left the man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't even involved in the process. He wasn't involved in the process because Satan had to leave him. Like, okay, this is going to hold deliverance. Everybody go to sleep, relax. Their minds just shut down. And we did, is this not?
Am I talking? Yeah, that's the story.
It's exactly all this. This is the power of God. And that, I mean, this is the power. This is how you know. And there's just so many things you can't really tell. Another time, we have somebody that's going to come in and try to harm the church. And, they just had bad intentions towards, somebody, and they wanted to harm them. And the church was just worshiping God, just loving God or whatever. And God's power hit this person to the point where they couldn't even hardly breathe. And they began to choke. And it was just, took them to their knees. And for 4 hours, this person runs from the church, runs from the church, mind you, and has to stay away from it until it's totally finished. And nobody did anything. It was just the power of God present. Jesus said, I will work with you, confirming the word. It's not us doing it. It's him doing it. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does this. And over and over again, you know, we're seeing the power of God. And I believe this third great awakening is just that another situation where I had this, the church was about to gather and I went and laid down just for like a quick little nap, but I didn't go to sleep. I just kind of had a vision suddenly. And this vision, this person had two, damaged legs, whether they're broken or whatever. And I'm grabbing one leg real nicely and I'm kind of pulling it out and it just kind of goes right back in, goes into place just real easily. And then I take the other leg and it's damaged and bent up too and broken. And I go I'm going to do the same thing I did to the other leg. This is the vision. But all of a sudden something takes the back part of my triceps of my arms, back part of my arms and just shoves my arms forward and like snaps that leg right back in place. That's just powerful. Wow. I mean, this is exciting things. This is what the church is supposed to be like. And John, I want you to share how the Lord's begin to share with what's this third great awakening, the youth, and how God's going to begin to use with the glory of God.
Yeah, it's so awesome. You know, I remember having this dream. Lord spoke to me in a dream, and in this dream, I was in an auditorium that looked like at that time it was an auditorium. I found that it was something much larger as the dream progressed. But a well-known minister that I've been familiar with entered, a platform, and he began just preaching a little bit and just sharing, and then he prayed for some folks, and then he sat down. He sat down, actually to the left side of me, and it happens. I actually had this kind of same similar dream almost twice with, you know, a few weeks, and then another well-known minister steps onto. And I say, like, just, you know, well known, I'm talking about internationally known and stuff like that. He is on the platform and he begins to pray, and there's no visible manifestation. There's no visible manifestation.
No evidence.
Of the glory of God. There's no evidence. Nothing's happening. And the minister who previously was up there praying, who has a ministry that has signs and wonders and evidence and miracles and that type of stuff.
This is a dream we're talking about. So everybody knows.
Right.
It's prophetic. Okay.
He stands up and says, "Where's the glory? Where's the glory? Where's the glory?" He's really shouting, just reaching out. And then the next scene in the dream, there's this young 15-year-old girl look like standing in the front of this just large gathering of folks. And she shares a little bit and she preaches a little bit. And then she begins to open some time up for prayer and starts praying for people. And before, you know, I'm watching this whole thing and I'm seeing just a couple of people just kind of fall under the power of God. And I'm thinking in the dream, you know, how dreams are, you're like, okay, I've seen this before. I've seen this before. And then she gets to this one person and she kind of just goes to pray for that person and waves her hand towards the person. And then I see like dominoes, a sea of people just fall. And this is where almost like a camera panning to the back, a row of people just, I mean, like dominoes just fall. All of the power and the glory of God. I mean, I'm talking about en masse. And then as like I'm watching in the camera pans out, and this place is huge. This is like a stadium. This is huge. There's people everywhere. And then I'm kind of like sitting or in the area of two people that are sharing about what's going on because this is being televised. And they begin to say, yeah, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. They're going to share for a little bit, and then they're going to release the glory. It's going to happen everywhere. Like, this is going to happen everywhere. And the Lord was just showing me this is going to spread, that the church is going to rise up and move and preach in the power and the glory of God with miracles, signs, wonders, healings. And it's just going to spread. It's not about the fancy dancing. No, this was just a simple, simple young girl who was trained up, who preached the gospel of God and just began to pray, and God showed up.
God's going to begin to just use this young generation who are hungry for evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the point? Right. And that's why Misty Edwards, who's working with young people all the time, you know, what's the point? And that's it's very important to think about that. Why, ask yourself this question: why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And is what I'm doing what Jesus told me to do? Is that what it says? And if only 19% are reading their Bible according to George Barna, do I need to? Am I part of that? And 81% that's not. Do I need to start reading my Word? I need to start abiding with God? Understand this: that prepare yourself for what's about to happen. It's going to be two things going on to the best of our knowledge, how we understand it. It's going to be the best of times for the kingdom of God, and it's going to be the worst of times. You know what I'm saying? Things happening, stuff and things as we know it. But in that storm, in that tragedy, that's what causes people to look up. You know, the woman who was caught in adultery didn't need Jesus till she was caught. And she was thrown at his feet. She had a need. It came because tragedy hit. You think about how many people that were sick. Mm-hmm. They needed Jesus to heal them because they were sick. They turned to Jesus because of the pain.
Mm.
You think about the tragedy and things that happened in the 70s, as I was saying earlier the first hour, as Charles Simpson was talking about the 70s and God began to pour out, advance his kingdom in a powerful way, it was just bad economic times. It was the Carter administration. It was the end of the Vietnam War. It was all these revolutions that were taking place in America. They were putting on Time magazine, you know, is God dead? And, you know, this is, and all these things were happening, but it was the midst of that caused the church to go into their homes, by the way, unquote, and begin to pray. They began to pray and ask God and seek God. It was the pain. It was the darkness. It was that, and when they prayed, God began to pour himself out powerfully. And understand, so dark times come, but understand great that you are the light of the world, that your light's going to be brighter. And you want to prepare for what's going to happen, because the power of God is going to be, people are going to be coming to God. And they're going to be looking for evidence, and they want to hear not the intellectual explanation of the Creator and his Son. They want to know, do you know him? Do you know him? What's he like? And you can only do that if you know him and you abide with him. You hang out with him. If you don't abide with God, I encourage you. We got a simple plan for you. Go to iabide.org and begin to abide with him today so you can be ready tomorrow for what's about to come on the face of the earth. We're believing for a third great awakening. If the church wakes up and realizes that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ in them is the hope of glory. Listen, it's going to explode. The kingdom of God is going to advance because they carry their kingdom containers. It's them. They are the ones that Jesus died for, and who Paul says that I have given myself and my life to serve them, the church, the body of Christ. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.